Good morning, New Mexico. Welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company, streaming on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services, and we're at facebook.com/radiocafe. Later on in the program, we will be speaking of the arts. Right now, I would like to welcome to the program Robert Knott and Matt Sanford. They are co-writers of the play that just opened last night at Warehouse 21, Doc Watson versus the Vampires. And Raina Urban, who is an actor in that play, welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thanks for having us. Good morning.
Robert Knott, you seem to be rubbing off on your protégés.
What do you mean? What are you talking about?
Well, I went to the rehearsal of this play the other night, and you and your co-writer sound a lot like you. Namely, a whole bunch of shtick and physical comedy.
Wait a minute. What about the actors? Do they seem to imitate us in turn?
Well, they're doing your lines, no doubt.
Well, thanks for being there and thanks for supporting us. And it's just crazy comedy. And to find people that think alike is not always so easy. And I think we've found a really nice, smart ensemble of people that are willing to just jump in and see what the heck happens.
So Doc Watson is Watson as in Sherlock Holmes and Watson.
Correct.
And you chose to basically give Sherlock Holmes almost no part at all, and Watson steals the show.
Well, that's how the setup was. I mean, it is a spoof in which we discover that Doc Watson is the brains behind the story, and he and his wife, Mary, who Raina plays here, decide it's time to finally get on their honeymoon because he's been working so hard, and she goes and rents Dracula's castle. I don't know why you do that. How come?
Why don't you tell me, Robert? You're the one who wrote it.
I knew this was going to happen. She's going to be like, turn all the questions back on me.
Well, she has a point.
She does have a point. And so does Matt. And his comes very nicely to the top of his head. But never mind that. The goal is to make people laugh. It's just to make people laugh. And although the play does take some crazy twists and turns. But it's sort of what? A gothic comedy? A Victorian spoof?
Gothic horror comedy. Somewhere in their period piece.
Right. And we've talked to the cast about how we don't know what it is we have and what, you know, how it's always my belief that you do the art and then it's the people that decide what it is, whether they like it, whether it's good, whether it's bad, what they make of it. They want to leave and think this about it. And last night we were really lucky to have a full house of really enthusiastic people who got the visual gags, who got the verbal gags, who liked the dark elements. In fact, we heard that people wanted it to go a little darker, and we might add some blood, because it's got a lot of Grand Guignol in it.
So you might add some blood?
Well, maybe, yeah. We need some more blood.
You definitely have a lot of fight scenes.
And you only saw Act 1.
I only saw Act 1, and there's a lot of fight scenes.
There is.
A lot of people hitting their left fist with their right, and somebody in front of them falls over.
It's good to keep people active with the show. I like to have a lot of physical stuff. You know, I always think a play should open with, like, a fight scene, because right away people know what they're in for, so... I think we're going to be doing, the subject was roses next year, and we're gonna open up, we already decided, with a fight scene between the characters. No, I'm teasing.
Now, Doc Watson, you weren't making any kind of connection to the bluegrass Doc Watson.
Actually a lot of people have asked us that same question since the show has sort of been getting press over the last few weeks, and I don't think that it had ever really crossed our minds the relationship between the musician Doc Watson and the literary character, and so I've had several people read about it and say this makes absolutely no sense. I thought it was a guy with a guitar battling vampires.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, your boyfriend Roberto would have liked to come see that, I suspect, in that case. Can you imagine a guy with a guitar fighting off vampires? That should be the next, that'll be the sequel.
Okay.
That'll be the sequel. It'll be called Doc Watson versus the Vampires.
This is what I get. I take a year off, I come back, and yeah.
Robert, no, we're happy you're going to be here joining us. Speaking of the arts, Rob DeWalt is taking a day off today, and so you'll be here for the whole hour.
Well, thank
you. There's a lot involved in putting up a play like this for the actors. I mean, less you, Raina, I guess, but there's a lot of physical comedy in this. What are some of the challenges of doing it and directing it?
For me, it's the big thing is when we're auditioning people early on, we certainly take that into account, you know, in the audition is, you know, do you have any special talents? What's your physical ability? What's your physical comfortability with doing all the wazy, crazy, wacky stuff that we ask our actors to do? That and also just knowing, being comfortable with the actors that we've worked with in the past as well, knowing that we can call up Ryan Kochevar and he'll produce a backflip in the middle of a sword fight on demand.
He's the one that demands it.
He's the one that demands that we have a backflip in the sword fight.
And he does it, and he does it great. Last night the audience just stopped at that.
And he plays Watson.
Right, and once we work, you know, start audition, pardon me, rehearsals, we begin to work with them and see what they can do. We find out their comfort zone, and as the play goes on, some of them decide they want to run into walls a few times more than was in the script and try gags, and there's pratfalls and feints, and they're all doing a great job. It's a terrific cast. They're in age from 15 to 25, and I think they all get along, don't you?
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, do you feel like they're all one age, or?
It does. There's no separation from the older actors to the younger actors. I mean, everyone works together, and so it's great.
Yeah.
So you've been, Raina Urban, you've been doing Warehouse 21 productions for a while?
Yeah, for a while. This is my third not in Stanford show at Warehouse 21.
So you're in the vibe of the
I've
schtick.
Been sucked into the vortex.
Yeah, she's in the circle of trust.
And so what's it like for you to play the wife of Dr. Watson?
It's been a crazy role. I've never played anything like her. She's extremely complex and so much fun to play. I don't know how to explain the process. I don't know if I've figured it out myself, but it's been a blast.
Tell us about your character a little bit.
Mary Watson appears to be the typical Victorian woman until that she speaks and you realize that she is very much her own woman. She's the one who decides that they're going on a honeymoon, and she's the one who rents Dracula's castle, and she's kind of the one who propels this madness that ends up being the entire show.
Renting Dracula's castle may not have been the very smartest thing, although she does seem like a smart lady.
It would appear so.
Well, it's Renfield who is like acting as the behind-the-scenes realtor. When Dracula, you know, goes off, he rents the castle out, it turns out. So, and our Renfield in this one is a former American vaudevillian, so of course that leaves us plenty of opportunities for shtick.
Yes, indeed. Now, it's oddly, he doesn't seem to be a vampire.
No, we've kept him more human. We made a more human Renfield who has a chance to get out and be in the sunlight and reclaim some of his vaudevillian heritage.
And he's played by somebody who has a tremendous capacity to fall on the floor in many different ways.
Winston Morris Green, back in town after being gone for 5 years. He did a show with me 5 years ago, and I thought he'd never come back and work with me again, but he came back and he's working with me again, and he does fall on the floor many times, copious times.
The floor, the wall, I'm amazed we didn't find a way to get him to bounce off the ceiling.
Out the window, the window
goes
gag.
Out the window.
Yeah, this is definitely youth theater, ladies and gentlemen. I wouldn't want to be falling down that manner in any way, shape, or form. We're talking about the play Doc Watson versus the Vampires, which is at Warehouse 21 tonight, tomorrow at 8 in the evening?
8 o'clock. We can't name prices, but it's so affordable for both young people and adults. And then we have a 4 p.m. Sunday matinee. We want to really push because it's pay what you wish. We're going to try 4 o'clock because our gut tells us that in the summer, you know, people don't always want to go in for a 2 o'clock matinee. They want to go for a hike, get some stuff done. But you go at 4 o'clock, then you can catch dinner or have a drink afterward and talk about the play, whether you like it or not. So we're going for 4 p.m. matinees the next two Sundays, and they are pay what you wish. So we hope people will show up for that if they're tight with money these days, as so many of us are. But we're not tight with the laughs. There's plenty.
There's laughs galore. Gags, girls, and gore galore.
That's right. Or babes, buffoonery, and blood.
Robert, it's like you've got a formula, a working.
It is
formula.
A formula. It's taken some time. It's the ninth show for me there, and it's been a percolating formula. And you know, some of them weren't good, and I have to take responsibility for that. And lately, we've had a nice run in the new space. I'd say we've had 4 pretty solid productions, even if people didn't like the theme or the tone of one. We did a film noir spoof last year, and it wasn't really popular, to tell you the truth. I mean, people didn't quite embrace it like I thought they would, and you know, I have to take a lot of responsibility for that. But this one is sort of
saw that one, and that one had too many puns per minute.
Well, I think there were a lot of other problems with it, actually, besides that. I think it was way too serious. But now we feel like we have this popular topic that we hope appeals to teens and young people that love the vampire genre. We do have vampire brides who are very, what do you call it, diaphanous.
Their dresses are diaphanous.
Oh, okay.
They're not diaphanous.
Okay.
Excellent point. And they're very graceful and fanged and vampire-like and graceful. And how many plays have you two written together?
We've written... This is our second one that we've written together. We also wrote a screenplay together. But this is our fifth show working together.
With him as an actor sometimes and stuff I directed. But he's co-directed four now with me. And it works pretty well. We sort of complement each other. And on occasion, we have the very rare issue or conflict or debate about whether something works. Occasionally, he'll add stuff behind my back to the actors. Go do this. And then they'll say, do you like that? Oh, that was great. The actors came up with it. Later on, I found out he's talking to them in a dressing room. And put this together. So that's cool. Yeah, we wrote a fun screenplay. I still think we can get it made. It's terrific. It's called Adam Age Zombies. Listen to this.
No.
Yes, it's a small town in New Mexico right after World War II. And Spanish conquistador zombies come back to life after the atomic blast test in White Sands. And it's great. We have a great Hispanic sheriff hero who was disabled in the war. And we're going to get it done. We had an option, but things went terribly wrong. And I don't want to say too much, but a beautiful Mexican beauty queen who was going to play the lead apparently got tied up with some of the people involved and ran away with them. But we're going to catch up with them. Don't worry. Anyway, but now the option's back in our hands. I'm telling you, it's a really funny, good, smart retro screenplay, and we'll something will come. But right now we have vampires, not zombies, because vampires are sexy. Don't you agree?
Yes.
I mean, are you one of those people that reads Twilight when no one's looking?
No.
You read it when people are looking?
No. I'd never read Twilight nor seen Twilight, although I have looked at the lead actor dude on IMDb and will admit that he is rather handsome.
I see.
Uh-huh.
I wonder what other website you're visiting to find photos of him on.
So, Reyna, you're going to college next year. You just graduated from high school here in Santa Fe.
Are you
going to pursue acting?
I haven't really decided yet. We'll see what happens this next year.
She's a great, smart actress. I mean, what's
you
funny
are.
About her
she,
is...
It's true.
Yeah, she's just... she's not... She does the madcap stuff with us, but we always get that sense of, like, she's the prim and proper straight woman, and she's always giving us a look like... Okay, I'm going to go ahead. You want me to take an 8-foot pratfall, and she'll do it. But she comes in and does the work, and you just give her a direction, and she adjusts. And I think she could go on and do this for a career if she wants to, and I hope she does consider it. But I also think she'll make it work, whatever she does. And we're going to miss her because we've had three really good experiences with her. And she's developed as an actress, and she's changed with her characters really well. And I can see why you find this one particularly appealing, because there is a lot of complexity to her and what happens to her in the play.
Yeah, which we won't talk about.
No, don't say nothing
about
that.
We don't want to give anything
away. We're not
going to
give away the crazy ending, which starts with this great scene. Where
antics.
Well, the antics turn a little dark and bloody near the end. And
yeah.
There's less antics. And the audience last night, you could feel the shift in energy.
A dark and bloody vampire play?
Well, yeah, we're trying to do all that stuff with the... You know, acid in the face and spears going through hearts and people flying out windows and getting impaled on these impaling tools. And there's a big pas de deux or whatever you call that, ballet. And they got, what else, gunfire cannons and stuff on the stage. It's
I think that's one thing that separates this show the most from stuff that Robert and I have done in the past is while it's still very much rooted in that formula that you mentioned of, you know,
Robert Knott and Matt Sanford, who has become Robert Knott.
No.
Perhaps through vampire transfer.
vampiric transfer.
No, it's funny because he has a very different sense of humor in a lot of ways than I, and he has a different style of talking to actors than I do. He's much more engaged with their process, and I just want to see how it looks at the end, you know. And we tell the actors that, like, he's really good with process and I'm good with product. But I think I know what an audience wants to see, but I'm not always right either. I've messed up a lot, so...
Well, I was thinking as I was watching it, this is a wonderful training for young people doing theater, because mm-hmm. there's so many different skills that they have to learn in order to do this kind of theater,
mm-hmm.
whether or not it's deep drama. It's, you know, Shakespeare, it's not. But to learn to do physical comedy, to learn to do the quickness and timing that you need to do to pull off this kind of humor, which I think you do, is quite something.
It's it's a really difficult style because it is so fast and it's so specific and it's rooted in very much in the old vaudeville styles, which there isn't a lot of opportunities for these days. I don't feel.
No, and it's also, I mean, we talk to the actors about the need to play it real and not go over the top. And sometimes they do, and they'll learn in front of an audience that if they fail, it's okay. They have to play it real as Shakespeare, even though Shakespeare it's not, you know. And Matt's right, and that vaudeville goes back to the classic Commedia dell'arte with all the stock characters, and we have them here. Right down, we have the doctor, we have the lech, we have the jester, we have the prim and proper lady that's the leading lady, but there's really something slightly amiss about her, which I think also is somewhat true of the actress playing her, but never mind that. We love working with her. She's always giggling. And we have a couple of those New Mexico School for the Arts teens who love working with the great director, teacher Joey Chavez, who's really, yeah. really good. And they're just, you know, it's sort of like they've come over and they're having a ball with us, but they understand the difference in styles. And, you know, we benefit from Joey's teaching them. We benefit from Chris Leslie's kids that come over, Pandemonium and Santa Fe Performing Arts, which is where Raina came from. I mean, we're really lucky because they do work with other directors, and we tell them to work with any director in town and just keep trying to find out, you know, what they can learn from that director. So we benefit a lot from other people's training, and we are thankful for that.
Now, what do you actually watch, both you as an actor, Raina, and the two of you, to internalize that whole vaudeville aesthetic? I mean, do you watch old performances?
For me, I mean, I have such a love for old Hollywood and you know, turn of the century silent era movies. So I mean, particularly for this, there's a lot to draw on, you know, going back and watching the original Nosferatu, and then right after that putting on a couple of, you know, Charlie Chaplin shorts. It's that weird blend of really spooky and really funny, and that's where a lot of my, you know, inspiration and motivation comes from, is the really old classics.
We gave them a list of movies we wanted them to watch, and I actually don't remember if we gave you any. Or
yeah, you did.
What did we ask you to watch?
The original Dracula and Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Okay, so.
And so did you take your lessons from those?
Yeah, I did. I went and rented the movies and just sat up in my room for a few hours and watched them back to back and just studied the characters that they had asked me to look at, and it really does give you ideas of things that you wouldn't have thought of otherwise, watching someone else play a similar role.
Now, Matt, you are also an actor. Have you been acting lately?
I've been acting quite a bit over the last 2 years, more so than I have around town, which is both a great thing and a not-so-great thing. There's a double edge to everything. I shouldn't say that. It's been a really, really great run lately. I just feel like there's been this weird sort of shift in theater in Santa Fe, or at least a shift in attitude towards theater in Santa Fe.
What do you mean?
I just feel like there's a lot more opportunity. There's been a lot more opportunities for really quality theater to go up around town, and it's incredibly exciting for me as, you know, someone who you know, has sort of made this commitment, for better or for worse, to, you know, wanting to be an actor for the rest of my life, to do it consistently and do it on a level that I feel is pertinent and, you know, to whatever degree satisfies my process, if you want to call it that, if that doesn't sound too schlocky. And it's just great. There's just so much wonderful talent around this town to work with. And there's just been a lot of that over the last, you know, two or three years.
Yeah, he's about to go out on a couple auditions for theater shows, including Scott Harrison's production of Our Town, which is going to go up next spring.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
Scott always does good work, so. And you're going to, there's another piece I know you're auditioning for, so. There are a lot of opportunities.
Rooms.
There are a lot of, you know, theater that seems to be springing up again. And more of the film actors that were used to getting work, which they no longer are because of the change in the business, seem to be willing to return to the stage, and that's been a real benefit.
The play is called Doc Watson versus the Vampires.
Ooh. I'm just doing a Dracula thing. He looks too tired to do it.
It's at Warehouse 21, ladies and gentlemen, Friday and Saturday, July 22nd, 23rd. That's today and tomorrow. 4 p.m. Sunday, same thing next weekend. Robert Knott and Matt Sanford, co-writers, Raina Urban, actor. Thank you all so much for being with us.
Thanks. We have a Facebook account for it. You can Google it. We have Warehouse 21 as a website, and the phone number is 989-4423. We'd love for the support. I think you'll enjoy it. If you don't have to like it, but you won't be bored. Again,
it's
pay
fun.
What you wish. Sunday matinees, 4 o'clock.
And you know what? Bring the kids.
Like 10 years old and up, maybe, because okay. Act 2 does get a little... We had some 10-year-olds last night, and they were fine with it, but it does get gruesome.
Yeah, but if
two.
It's 9-year-old, forget about it.
You and me. Well, I'll talk to you later when I come back here speaking about the arts. I want to speak to you about a few other things.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back in a moment. Please
Thank
stay
you,
tuned.
Thank you, ma'am.
I'd like now to welcome to the program Robert Knott. He was just here, and he's with us again, speaking of the arts.
Oh,
welcome back.
Return to form. Thanks.
And Ulla Peterson, who is the director of the Kindred Spirits Animal Sanctuary. And there is an art show this Saturday, that's tomorrow, from 10 to 4. And we just wanted to give you a moment to tell us about that, because Kindred Spirits, like many other organizations, continues to fight hard to not only take care of older animals, but to survive.
Right. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me, Mary Charlotte. Yes, we're having our annual art show fundraiser tomorrow, Saturday the 23rd. And we welcome... anyone who likes animals and arts to come out and visit us. We are located on Highway 14, right south of the Lone Butte General Store. There will be signs. And this is all art, really from the heart for the animals. All the proceeds go to the animals. And we have three wonderful local artists here that are all animal lovers and have contributed here so generously. There's Troy Clark, oil and canvas with a lot of animal images.
Now, is he the one who did the cute little fuzzy gray puppy that looks like, it kind of looks like a Georgia O'Keeffe flower, but then you look closely and it's a dog?
It's Elwood. He's our mountain man. And
the dog is Elwood?
Yes, this is Elwood. He's a rescue, a very old little boy from Albuquerque a while back. But he is a real trooper, and he got to be on the front of our show card.
He's your poster boy.
Yes, and he's our mountain man, too. That's his role there. So come meet him in person. He is very friendly, and... Just a little bit about our other artist. There is Diane Marino. She does folk arts and these wonderful little things of barn wood with hidden drawers and nichos and animals coming out at you and interesting kind of things, really unique, animal related. And there is Nancy McDevitt, who does wonderful oils also on a bunch of our residents, and there will be other things like flowers and so forth too. But this is a real wonderful time to visit for families. You're welcome to bring your children. We cannot take any animals, though.
You can't take any animals home. They're not animals for adoption.
Right, uh-huh. And so you get to visit with the animals and hear all their stories, and they'll talk to you. And it's a happy place. It's really a time to enjoy being outside. We have lots of shade. Big trees, and
Indeed.
There's the horses and the dogs and the poultry, and we give tours, and it's a happy place, and it's a really time to also realize what elder care and end of life care can be. Really a happy time. We break the stereotypes there
for animals, and also, as we've talked about many times on this program, it's not only for animals, but it's kind of an example of how to treat other people as well.
Really, it's for everybody. Yeah, it goes way beyond. Of course, our focus is on the animals, but it goes way beyond the animals and into our human community also. And many people have tried to sign up with our programs for themselves as eight.
I know. I mean, I have often. It's the same with veterinary care. I've often said that if I get sick, I want to go to Smith Vet.
Yeah.
And if I get old, I want to go to Kindred Spirits. Yeah. Animal say it's true. But there, anyway, the annual benefit art show is tomorrow from 10 to 4.
Yes.
And a wonderful art show. And it's a also, I think, a special opportunity for children if you want to bring kids down.
It is. And it's really nice to connect up children with the older folks, as I say, in, of course, here the animals, but everybody is welcome. But it's really nice to connect up children in the other end of our life spectrum here. And so come enjoy, and there will be refreshments and lots of shade.
And refreshments and shade.
Yes.
And even if it rains, well, it doesn't rain that much, but you'll still be doing it and people can come.
Oh, yes. And we just move indoors, and there will be lots of older animal doggies wagging and smiles and huggies too.
Ola Peterson, thank you so much for being with us. And we'll see you tomorrow. And I'm definitely heading down there around noontime at the Kindred Spirits Animal Sanctuary. And that is on Route 14. So if you go south out of town, it's, what, several miles out?
Yeah, you go to the Lone Butte General Store. It's about 20 minutes down south of Santa Fe.
Okay.
And there will be signs as you get close. And thank you, Mary Charlotte, for being a voice for the animals. And
thank you for taking care of them.
Yeah. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Robert Knott.
Hello there.
It's good to have you back.
Well, thanks. It's nice to be back. How you been?
Good. How are you?
I'm great. I'm on vacation this week and through half of next week, and it's just been a delight, and I'm happy to be back here and do Speaking of the Arts, even though I haven't been covering the arts as much. And you were kind enough to plug our show over at Warehouse, Doc Watson versus the Vampire. So I'm going to plug some of the other theater shows in town.
Okay.
Santa Fe Performing Arts Teen Ensemble is doing the musical Chicago. Everybody loves it. You know it. It's about Roxy Hart and musical shenanigans ensue. 7 p.m. tonight, Armory for the Arts, 1050 Old Pecos Trail. Very affordable. 984-1370. I'm pretty sure it's running through the weekend, and you can probably get those times from calling Santa Fe Performing Arts. Santa Fe Playhouse is still running. I'm hearing great word of mouth on the Cole Porter tribute called Cole. I believe it's the final weekend. If I'm mistaken, don't get too mad at me. 988-4262. The Playhouse is on DeVargas Street. It is the final weekend, I see. SantaFePlayhouse.org. If you like Cole Porter, you're the top, etc., head on over there. We've got The Wizard of Oz. People love this show, even though it's a theater show. And Pandemonium Productions is presenting this over the weekend at the James A. Little Theater, which is on the New Mexico School for the Deaf campus.
I have to say, it takes a lot of guts to do The Wizard of Oz.
Because it's so set in stone in people's minds.
Yeah, every single line of it, almost any American could probably imitate.
You're not kidding.
Because we've all heard, we've all seen it a gazillion times.
Yeah, and actually Matt Sanford, who was on earlier, is the assistant director of that. And he said some of the actors are putting their own take on the characters, which I'm pretty amazed with, because, you know, once you see Burt Lars, the Cowardly Lion, it's hard to break away. But there you are, Pandemonium Productions, Wizard of Oz, 7 o'clock tonight. I'll give you a phone number, 982-3327. So there is other theater happening. I also want to put out a nice call for volunteers. The Girls, Inc. Arts and Crafts Show on August 6th. They're looking for volunteers. So if you can, try to give them some help. I was just looking for a phone number, but I'm sure you can find them on a website. They are putting out a call for volunteers on August 6th. I think they also need some people on August 5th, which is Friday. You know, sometimes it's keeping cars from coming into the show area, or maybe it's, you know, working at the information booth, and sometimes it's making sure the artists stick to their time allotment and that the cars are parked right. So there's a lot of things you can do. They put out a really nice Facebook shout-out, but again, as you and I sometimes talk without being critical of them, I don't see any phone number if you want to reach out beyond Facebook, which not everybody's on. I'm still not on Facebook, actually. But nonetheless, Girls, Inc., you can check them out. You can find them online. You can find them in the phone book. Arts and Crafts Show, they are looking for volunteers. See if you can help.
Excellent.
And one more thing I want to get in before I let you cut in. Something
thank
that didn't.
You.
No, you're welcome. I like to let you have your say, especially when you're saying things about me. I love the way
and
you
look. And we're going to get to that in a moment.
I was being so good. That's dropping right after the next announcement. We did not get this into the pasta tempo. My understanding is it came in too late. That does sometimes happen. But here we go. Spanish Art and Cuisine with Arlene Cisneros Sena and James Campbell Caruso, July 26th. At the artist table to benefit education in the arts. How can I not help this out? Partners in Education has a hand in this. It's Tuesday at 6 o'clock, Santa Fe School of Cooking, which is on West San Francisco Street downtown, not far from the Lenzic. You do have to pay, but you in turn get to learn a lot about cooking, and you get to watch Caruso serving up Chucha San Rafael, and I'm not quite sure what Santa's doing, but I'm positive there's going to be something interesting, New Mexico lamb, something like that. If you're interested in cooking, you want to see these two very well-known chefs at work, call 983-4511, Santa Fe School of Cooking. Again, it's Tuesday night, 6 p.m., and my understanding is that it is benefiting the arts and education.
So here's something I got from the Santa Fe Opera, calling all Santa Feans, keep your eyes peeled this Saturday morning in downtown Santa Fe. Two characters have escaped from the Santa Fe Opera's new production of The Last Savage, opening Saturday night, and the opera needs your help to find them. There's Kitty, a Chicago socialite who dabbles in anthropology, and Abdul, the man she is trying to capture because she thinks he is the last savage. If you see them, take a photo of the pair and post it to the Santa Fe Opera's Facebook page. The first three posts from each location will receive a pair of free tickets to The Last Savage. Now, I saw the rehearsal of The Last Savage. Opening tonight is tonight. And it is very, very funny. We talked yesterday to Ned Canty, who is the director of that opera. And it is just, it's like watching an opera that's also a Doris Day movie.
That's what it sounds like. And I believe these two are going to be running around in loincloths, and I ain't loin. I can't wait to see the girl. I'd like to catch her in her loincloth.
You would indeed.
Oh, my gosh.
She's your type. I know.
She's got
Anna
that.
Anna Christie. She's wonderful in the part. She is hilarious. She's completely got. I mean, it's Robert, you should go.
I plan to go.
Kind of shtick.
I'll go see it. I'm waiting for my piece to shut down, but I will head up the hill to see that.
Definitely.
If you're into jazz, it's the 6th annual New Mexico Jazz Festival starting tonight. It's both in Albuquerque and Santa Fe. We got D.D. Bridgewater at 7:30 at the Lenzic tonight. Cover story for Pasa Tiempo. It's pretty darn beautiful by Paul Weideman, of course, who loves jazz. He's usually the resident jazz writer. And I have a Q&A in the Pasa. I haven't written a piece in Pasa Tiempo in a long time, but I'm still trying to contribute, usually with film. And a nice Q&A with Brent Cleaver, who most people know as the man that's still programming the screen. And now he's become the programmer for the Santa Fe Film Festival. And we did a little
Q&A. Santa Fe Film Festival?
Yes, correct.
The Santa Fe Film Festival.
Correct. It's a
which went from being a gigantic film festival to being about six movies. Is it now coming back to life?
They're trying to reformat it. You've got to give people time to get in their jobs, I always say. And I think that, Brent on board is a good thing.
So we have a good Q&A
with him today in the Pasa Tiempo, page 48. He's still overseeing the screen. And incidentally, looking ahead, I do believe the screen is going to have a film noir festival in mid-September. It sounds like that's going to happen. And I'll probably write about that as well. So, good Q&A with Brent in today's Pasa Tiempo. And if you're looking for goofy summer comedies, by the way, movies, I got to say, Bad Teacher, not quite perfect, but it's really gutsy and raunchy and funny at times. It breaks a lot of rules, as does Horrible Bosses, funny enough. They're both at Regal Stadium 14. I like them both. I laughed a lot, and I'm very harsh with comedies, but funny stuff. What have you seen at the movies?
I went to, what was it called, Beginners, the Christopher Plummer movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an imperfect movie. The relationship between, it's about a man who has been gay all his life, but he was married for over 40 years and had a son, and when his wife dies, he finally comes out and has a couple of great years before his life ends. And the relationship between the father and son is wonderful, but the relationship between the son and his girlfriend makes you want to tear your hair out. It's so poorly done. It's so poorly written. The actors are great. Ewan McGregor and Melanie, I don't remember her last name, a French actress. But the writing of it was just atrocious, in my personal opinion, but I'm not a film reviewer.
Well, I like that you always said that. I haven't seen it, so I don't know. Let's say it's Saturday night and you want to go dancing. You don't care about the opera and you don't want to go to the jazz festival. You just want to go dancing or at least go to some nightclub and support local music. So here we go in no particular order. Andy Kingston Jazz Trio, 7:30 Saturday night at Chispa at El Mason. No cover. At the Cowgirl that night, I think they got John Black, folksy blues and rock. And later on, they got Champagne with Friends, Cajun Jazz and Funk, 8 o'clock. Jerry Carthy playing his Irish tunes at El Cañon at the Hilton, 7 o'clock. Probably a nice, quiet place to go Saturday night. La Fiesta Lounge at La Fonda has the soulful blues band Zenobia and Company, 8 p.m., no cover. Love that place. The dance floor is not big enough, but I like it. Curry, Springer, and Prim are playing at the Ore House at Milagro. 10 o'clock, no cover. Oh, that's nice. There's something happening late. Dylan and Dead Knight with guitarist Rick Reddington, 6 o'clock Saturday night. That's what I'm talking about. Second Street Brewery at the Rail Yard. There's a lot of other things. Check the Pasta Tempo listings, which are pretty comprehensive.
And on Thursday, July 28th at 6 o'clock, Collected Works presents Andrew Tillen and his new book, The Doper Next Door.
What?
The Doper Next Door. It's about a guy, a regular guy who dopes. It's a year-long odyssey in which Tillen is transformed. He becomes strong. I'm not gonna go too much into this description here, but anyway, Andrew Tillen has written for many publications, including the New York Times, Wired, GQ, Rolling Stone, and many others. Collected Works Bookstore and Coffee House. All events are free and open to the public.
That's great. There's a Behind Adobe Walls tour coming up, Home and Garden Tour, 4 bus tours of 8 private residential gardens. It's going to be in daytime on Tuesday around lunchtime. You can contact Terry at westwindtravel.net for information. I always like those behind-the-scenes stuff, don't you? Wouldn't it be funny if like you went and you found like a collection of erotic sculptures in the garden that said something about the people that own the place?
Yeah, that'd be so funny.
I didn't say it would be funny. I said it would be great. It would be revealing.
You said funny.
I said, wouldn't it be great? Here we go again. Everything was going well. I just think that'd be interesting.
The more things change. Well, it's like that beautiful book that Ann Hillerman and Don Strell did called, I think it's called Simply Gardens of Santa Fe, is the book version of that. You get to basically go into a whole bunch of people, lots of people's houses, and see their gardens. And I was like, I've actually been trying to grow outdoor flowers this year, which I'm not very good at it, but I've been
like poppies?
Valiantly trying. You know, daisies and some of those catmint, which you can step on them and they still grow because they're so resilient and things like that.
If people came into my house, you know, for a tour, they'd like probably leave fast. You know, I got these cowboy movie posters up and bookshelf of erotic. I mean,
well, we don't want to bring these indoors.
Well, if you want these behind-the-scenes tours, people say. That'd be gutsy to let people into your place. Say, come look at my garden.
Yeah.
You know, what if they were growing something they weren't supposed to grow?
Well, then they probably wouldn't put their houses on a public tour now, would they?
Why? You know, I'm so nice to you, and it's been the year, and you're absolutely right. I wouldn't put my house on a public tour. I wouldn't put yours on a public tour.
What's wrong with my house? Okay.
There's nothing wrong. I like your house. I like the way it's expanding and growing, and your cute little dogs, and your nice little hot tub out back, and I like the fact that you always leave me cash when I come over.
None of this is true, ladies and gentlemen, except for the cute little dogs. I do own cute little dogs. Okay, here we go.
You have erotic sculpture in the back.
I do not. Artists on Art series. Tonight at 7:30, there's an event called How Does Art Affect and Reflect Culture at the Santa Fe University of Art and Design. It's the second Artists on Art program, and the moderator is Kathleen McLeod. She's a wonderful visual artist, and panelists include Farmington artist Michael Billy, Santa Fe artist Sally Ann Paschal, and Iris Vasquez, and Hema Springs artist Betsy Miller-Kloos. And for more information, you can call 575-779-7941.
Great. Vanilla Pop tonight, 9 o'clock, Tin Star, 80s Glam Lounge Band. I like those guys. Pueblo of Tasuki Flea Market's rolling over the weekend. Santa Fe Flea Market at the Downs is rolling out at the old horse track. You can take backstage tours of the opera. I'm talking earlier about backstage tours of people's homes. You can go up to the opera. I got to mention, Fine Art for Children and Teens is having an annual exhibit of work over at El Museo Cultural de Santa Fe, 555 Camino de la Familia off Paseo de Prata, 5 to 8 p.m. It's work by instructors and staff. The show runs through Monday, so go over to El Museo and be supportive and see FACT, Fine Art for Children and Teens.
There's an event
happening between you and I?
Between you and me.
Oh, good. It's even better.
There's an event Saturday at 4 o'clock, tomorrow at 4 o'clock, at Indigo Baby at DeVargas Center. Local author Diana McQueen and Indigo Baby present a free open forum on infertility and adoption. There will be some adoption attorneys, adoptive mothers, a birth mother who practices massage for the childbearing years, and all kinds of things. and that is at Indigo Baby at 4 o'clock tomorrow at DeVargas Center.
Pretty cool. How's the Santa Fe Bandstand Summer Concert Series going outdoors?
Oh, it's fun. It's really fun.
Monday through Thursday, they got noon shows. They got 6 o'clock shows. Go down and dance. Again, I haven't had time to get out to see anything because I've been in rehearsal, but I do intend to run down there maybe the week after this to see some of the people that are down there. So, for example, I think they have Havana Sun 6 o'clock Wednesday. Again, that's on the plaza. It's free. And they got the Hot Club of Cowtown, 6 o'clock Thursday. I hope they're like cowgirl and cowboy songs. Wouldn't that be fun? Do you like the two-step?
I've never done it.
Well, I should take you out on the floor and show you how to do it.
Well, you should, but not right now. We're on the radio, Robert.
Yes,
just saying.
I know. It's nice. It's nice to come back and try to feel my way through the production here and find that the more things don't change, the more they stay the same.
Yeah.
Okay. What else? You got anything happening out of town? There's the Knob Hill Summerfest if you're down in Albuquerque. It's running down on the Knob Hill Shopping District Friday and Saturday in Central Avenue. I've been going down to Albuquerque lately quite a bit. So the Madrid Bluegrass Festival is this weekend in Madrid. It includes the Mailbox Roadrunners, the Family Cole, Missed the Boat, Michael Hearn, South by Southwest. That's on a Saturday. And on Sunday, you got Rail Yard Reunion, Atomic Grass, Joe West and Friends, Mystic Lizard. It's under the tent outside the old Coal Town Museum down in Madrid. It's, a half-hour ride down 14. It's very affordable. 438-3780. One more time. Saturday and Sunday is the Madrid Bluegrass Festival.
Carol Anthony is in a show. I got a card from her the other day. The show's already opened at Gerald Peters Gallery.
Oh, I went there last week.
I just wanted to mention
it
because she's such a wonderful artist. And but they didn't send me anything, so I don't have the exact details.
Yeah, I went for the opening. I think it was a week ago Friday, and... yeah, I urge you to go over there. And I don't think it's in Paso Tiempo this week because it didn't open. But by all means, head on over there.
And meanwhile, Linda Durham and Ken Mayers, who have recently returned from Greece, will share their experiences, adventures, and reflections as passengers on the U.S. boat to Gaza, the Audacity of Hope. The U.S. boat was part of the Freedom Flotilla II, which attempted to break Israel's siege of Gaza. And I actually... I'm going to be talking to one or both of them early next week, so we will be finding out more about that, but definitely a very interesting experience and adventure and a little bit scary at times, and two Santa Feans participated in that. And so that is on Tuesday, the 26th of July at the Unitarian Congregation on Barcelona Road. It's at 7:30 in the evening, and all benefits... all proceeds benefit the Santa Fe Maya Project, Clean Water for Gaza's Children, presented by Another Jewish Voice. So there's a there's a suggested donation. You don't have to donate. Nobody will be turned away.
Oh, excellent. Santa Fe Playhouse is looking for people to audition for the physical comedy Moonlight and Magnolias. And that's in early August. Check out santafeplayhouse.org if you wish to audition. And I think the Santa Fe Opera Young Voices program is looking for high schoolers and teens and young people. They're having auditions on July 30th, next Saturday at 1 to 4 up there at the Opera Ranch Lounge north of the city. You can certainly check out the Opera's website or call. I think they want you to fax submissions and applications and all that. But just tipping you off, you can find out more about it. And the Tony Hillerman Mystery Short Story Contest is happening. So if you're writing short stories, and they happen to be mysteries, the whole genre is a mystery to me, you can send unpublished work for publication in New Mexico Magazine. The winner's going to get a cash prize and two tickets to the award ceremony at the Tony Hillerman Writers Conference in November. The entry deadline is Monday, August 15th, so you got about 3 weeks. Contest details can be found online at wordharvest.com. wordharvest.com. Do you like mysteries? Do you read them?
I mostly read them when I'm about to have an author on the air. I don't usually read them just for fun.
Like you don't step to midnight and read them and yeah.
No, I mean when I was especially in junior high and high school, I read a lot of mysteries. In fact, my life was influenced by mysteries. When I was in elementary school, that's when I started reading them. I wouldn't leave my fingerprints in my room.
Well, I do the same thing with women, and it works out very well.
I would wipe my fingerprints off of the glass in the bathroom and things like that so as not to leave any clues. Okay, here's another announcement. Oh, no, this, yeah. Joe Hayes, storyteller extraordinaire.
Oh, he is terrific.
He was wonderful. He will be performing outside the Wheelwright Museum every Saturday and Sunday through April 14th. It's free. Bring your picnic blanket and treat yourself, family, and friends to the wonder of Tales and Twilight. The shows begin at 7 o'clock. Find out more at wheelwright.org. And we have another announcement. This Saturday morning, tomorrow at 11 a.m. right here on KSFR, Camp Lovewave presents part two of Taryn's interview with Lawrence E. Joseph, author of Apocalypse 2012 and Aftermath, Prepare for and Survive Apocalypse 2012.
That's amazing.
Yeah, well, I mean, I remember, I mean, we may have the apocalypse next year, ladies and gentlemen. We don't know whether or not the apocalypse is going to happen next year. The rapture didn't happen this earlier this year. I think May 21st was the scheduled date. But I remember in the 80s, there was a lot of stuff about how there was going to be a big, huge depression and kind of semi-economic apocalypse in 1989.
And?
Well, it didn't happen.
So they're running late.
But that was late. Good.
That happened around like 2008, so now there's... All right, so there's like... We have 10 extra years then, based on that.
20.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. That's good. All right, that's good.
But it might. And anyway, it's always good to know how to survive an apocalypse, in my humble opinion.
Well, it's true, but you know, you never know how it's going to work or what it's supposed to do. My feeling is just like, when your time comes, the apocalypse could be 4 years away, but you and I could go outside, slip on a banana peel, break our necks, and die laughing. And you know, you don't know when you're going to go, so preparing for it, I think you just got to be ready to die. And once you're ready to die, you can really live life to the fullest, even if you mess up all the time.
By the way, it looks as if KSFR is going to be off the air between 10 and 1 p.m. today. We will still be streaming at ksfr.org, but there is some scheduled maintenance on our tower. So every once in a while, things like this happen.
Was that the tower that was in the fire?
Well, it didn't get burned, but they still have to do maintenance.
Okay, that's good. So from 10 to 1, no, you know. So following you is still the Cuban jazz show, and then...
It's jazz a la carta,
yeah,
which is not just Cubans, with Ricardo Perez and Helga Ancona in the middle doing the Brazilian hour, and all kinds of good things. Robert Knott, it's great to have you back on the show.
Well, thank you. I was a little off my game, but that's all right. I'm waking up. And please, Doc Watson versus the Vampire, funny comedy, we think. Warehouse 21 that co-wrote with Matt Sanford, running through the weekend, PG-13, 4 p.m. Sunday matinees that are pay what you wish. And 8 o'clock night. Yeah, I think so. It's a little intense, but we had kids last night, so thank you. Thanks for helping us plug our show.
Thank you, Robert.
Thanks for having me back on, and I'll back off.
Pasatiempo is the Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexican. Rob DeWalt will be here next week.
Yeah, but he doesn't growl at you like I do.
That's true. I don't know. Is that good or bad? Anyway.
He don't love you like I love you. If he did, he wouldn't break your heart.
He didn't break my heart.
Well, I know. That's what I mean.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte.
We're
streaming live on the web at ksfr.org.
I love when you stream live.
Podcasting at santafe.org. Thanks to Dot Foil Computer Services.
Let me do that again.
You can. I'm going to turn your volume down if you don't watch out.
It's just your neck.
You can. He's on the other side of the table. He lies. He lies like a rogue. What was I trying to say? My email is radiocafe@ksfr.org.
Do you like my caresses?
I wouldn't know, would I? Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team. And after that, jazz a la carta, as we mentioned before.
That's right. Great. 9 o'clock.
And don't believe anything Robert Knott says, except for about his play, which is really great fun.
Thank you for supporting us. Warehouse 21 the next 2 weekends. And listen to the jazz show. And remember, they're going off the air at 10.
Bye.